Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. This is Will Coy here on Quiet Earth Radio. Glad to have you here with us tonight. We're going to do a neat little show tonight on The Stand, written by Stephen King. We're basically just going to have a discussion on the book tonight between Quiet Earth and I. So it should be a really interesting program. If you've read the book or you've seen the movie, if you've got any questions or comments, I do invite you to call us here at area code 646-716-7562. And also, I'd like to mention we have a chat room now set up on the website. So if you'd like to just hang in the chat room and, you know, maybe discuss anything on the book, you're more than welcome to. Let me go ahead and introduce our my co-host here. Will Coy, are you there?
Quiet Earth? Yeah, I'm here.
How are you feeling today?
I'm doing good, Will Coy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Okay, and yeah, as again, we're going to talk about The Stand tonight. Obviously, you're a big fan of the book too, right?
Oh yeah, this is actually the first Stephen King book I read, and I actually got it for my 16th birthday. I got the uncut version, and I couldn't put it down, man. I read the entire book in 3 days, and I loved it.
Okay, great. It should be a fun episode tonight. Okay, Laura, we'll start off with the news, and I'll hand it over to you to do the fallout.
Okay, folks, this is the fallout, your news for the past week. Okay, our first item is we have a new sci-fi movie called Lost at War, which was produced by American World Pictures. They described this movie as the Twilight Zone meets a platoon of soldiers, and there's no release date set, but we have a copy, and we will be putting up a review in probably about 3 weeks. Okay, item two, we have a special treat. And that is a very rare post-apocalyptic zombie movie called Noctum. It's from 2003. And I got this courtesy of Jens Wolf and Hansen Pictures in Germany, where that's the only place, actually, the movie is available. And Jens is actually working on a special edition of this movie, but there's no ETA on that. And I will be putting up a review of that movie this Friday. And also, as a side note, we're kind of trying to help Jens and Hansen Pictures get North American distribution for his movie. Okay, item number three. We have a new zombie movie called Special Dead, and this is very far from politically correct. But it's about a zombie plague which infects Camp Special Dude, a dude ranch for the mentally handicapped. It looks very funny, and I think this would probably fit into the zombie category. Okay, we got another item is we got a new apocalyptic book called Solstice by author Ulysses Silva, which sounds really good. It's about scribes who can make what they write real, and one of them writes something apparently that has a phone call made to the entire world's population that asks the question, what would you do if you only have a week to live? Amazon has the book available for pre-order, and it ships on November 15th, but it will be available in bookstores October 28th. If you really can't wait, you can go to the publisher and buy the book, which will be available this Saturday. This is currently on the second page of our website. Okay, we have a cool post-apocalyptic anime from South Korea. This actually came out in 2006, but it is going to be playing at the Toronto After Dark Film Festival coming up here shortly, which I was invited to and probably will be attending. It's actually called Achi and CPAC, I think is how you pronounce it. And I won't explain the premise for this one, as it's a bit vulgar, but it's on the front page of our website. Okay, we also have a new post-apocalyptic short called With Nothing Left, which is 17 minutes in length. It's black and white, and it's set in 10 years after a devastating nuclear war. This is kind of like right up Wilcoy's alley here.
All right,
check out our website for the trailer and further info on that. Let's see. And the last item we have is a new sci-fi flick called Nightmare City 2035, or it's also known as Dream City. And I just found this last night, and somehow this thing got swept under the rug because I found information showing this movie was in post-production in 2006, and then it's showing a 2007 release date, and in post-production on IMDb, I think. And I really can't find much more on it, but it looks fantastic. The whole premise is it's year 2035, following a crushing economic crash, the totalitarian regime broadcasts the illusion of a beautiful city to the chip implanted in your brain. The rebel good guys know of the deception and seek to create revolution. Now, the trailer is awesome. That is on our website, so folks, really check that one out. Hopefully that comes out sometime soon. And that's all for the fallout, folks.
Yeah, just real quick before we get on to the stand here, you said that one's right up my alley. Now, that's with nothing. Actually, I saw that earlier this week. That is a neat little short. Now, is that the one where he's in the snow?
Yeah, that's the one where he's in the snow and it's black and white and he's searching for survivors.
Yeah, that looks pretty neat. I definitely people like check this. It's got a nice little vibe to it, or at least a feel to it is what I'm trying to say. Okay, well, we'll move right on ahead here to our topic tonight, the stand. The book itself I read over about it's been 20 years ago, and I read the cut version first, and then I read the uncut version here in the last couple of years. One thing that stands out about the stand let me briefly just say for people who haven't ever read the stand or don't know about it, it's a post-apocalyptic horror written by Stephen King in which a biological epidemic. It's about a virus, super flu, that gets loose and basically, devastates, everybody who catches it pretty much dies from it. And it was a military-made biological weapon is what it was. But then this movie's also got some good and evil aspects to it, too. So I just want to kind of bring that into it real quick. And anything that stand out to you as far as when you first read it, Quiet Earth, that you liked?
Oh, really? I mean, I think the thing I enjoyed the most out of the book was really that the whole, good versus evil aspect, which I think is obviously Christian-based. And really, I liked, Mother Abigail, her character, and how all the characters were having dreams to go to this place, and just, how loving she seemed. I thought that was probably the coolest part of the entire book.
Well, I thought that was pretty neat. Also, the good and evil aspect, as you said, because most of the post-apocalyptic films and books, at least in the 80s, especially in the 70s, really dealt with, let's say, like a Mad Max theme, or it was something man-made. You didn't really get that kind of, like you just said, a deep, more religious, kind of feel to it, a real tug of good versus evil. And, the bad guy in it, his name is called Randall Flagg. And he's kind of like, he is the devil or he's the Antichrist, but he goes around, he kind of sets everything kind of in motion,
Yeah, his character was... Definitely, I think he was portrayed as the Antichrist in the book, if I remember correctly. It's been a while.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's either one or two, but he was a pretty bad guy. He kind of assembles up. Well, first of all, what's interesting about the stand? Let's kind of go from the beginning here. As I said, it starts. What's interesting about the book is about the apocalypse itself. This virus, super flu, gets out, and then what you're left with are a band of. Of people that kind of start, kind of start choosing sides, or they start getting, these dreams or, messages in their heads, either from the good, which is an old lady named Abigail Freeman, which I believe is in Nebraska, or from the evil, the Antichrist we just talked about, Randall Flagg. And so it's kind of the bad and the evil guys. And in the book, there's some really bad guys. Now, I'll just mention a couple of them. The one guy's name is Lloyd, who I think is his kind of like number one guy. And the other guy in it is called the Kid. Yeah, who runs into Trash Can Man. Trash Can Man is also a really interesting character himself, a total pyrotech, you know, kind of psycho. If I understand, he's kind of like your favorite kind of character, isn't he?
Say that again?
Trash Can Man?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely my favorite. He seems to have he's a little abused. So, you know, like as an angry teenager, you can kind of, you know, identify with him. Plus, you know, he goes around and gets to burn stuff. So, you know, don't tell the cops or anything, but, you know, that's kind of cool.
He gets a lot done to him, but I guess since we're discussing the book, I'll tell people now that we're going to kind of, if you haven't read the book or seen the movie, you know, we're going to kind of spoil a little bit for you. So, towards the end, though, he kind of has a revelation at the end, and, goes from the Randall Flagg's kind of like number one guy to, you know, turning on him, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there were a lot of interesting characters in it, you know. As you said, it was kind of, you had the bad, you had your good. You had your good guys, which is like Stu Redman, which was this local guy from Arnett, Texas, and Nick Andros, and Tom Cullen, who was kind of a mentally challenged guy who had a real nice heart, and another guy named Ralph Brittner that was in it. But what was interesting about the book is, and that's kind of where I'm leading to here, is the book with the apocalypse, and then you had these people left over. What Stephen King did was he developed the characters, and that's one thing I remember most of the book, was that you're left with all these different characters, and he really builds each one of them up. You know where they're from. You kind of you know what's going on, you know, in their past, and kind of, you know, where they're at, you know?
Yeah, he does a great job of that, but, you know, when he really did, you know, his earlier writing, when this is written, he was always fantastic at really giving descriptions of stuff and building that up. And, you know, as a side note, I don't know if you ever read the short story, Captain Trips. That's in one of his short story books. It's not called Captain Trips. I mean, it's Night Surf.
No.
And it's set in the same world where everybody's, you know, Captain Trips, and they're, like, on a beach. That was a cool little story, but just a side note.
Okay, we've got a call here. I'm going to take a see here. Just going to pull this one here. Okay, area code 803, you're on Quiet Earth Radio. How are you doing tonight?
Hi.
Hi there. Is this Ruthie?
Yeah.
Okay, Ruthie.
I was having problems calling in or something. I was doing it right. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, let's just say, no, this is my aunt. She's a very big Stan fan. Actually, you introduced me to the book. What's your question tonight, Ruthie?
Well, it's actually one of my favorite books, and obviously one of the characters in it. And actually, one of my favorite characters, I know he was making fun of him, was Trash Can, because he was so, at the end, you know, you were never sure what he was trying to do at the end. To me.
Yeah, he was pretty interesting. He kind of had a lot of bad things done to him, too.
Right. You know, you have good and you have evil, and then you have this kind of guy that was kind of manipulated. So, you know, he was just wanting something. So, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he was really kind of neutral, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he could have gone either way.
Yeah, with the right directions. It's just that Flag got him first, you know. So that's kind of like people's day now, you know.
So what you're saying is he could have been, maybe he could have gone to the good side if Flag wouldn't have gotten
easily manipulated. He could have gotten either way. So, I don't know. Like you said, it's one of my favorite books. It has so many dynamic characters in it, and, you know, and it just shows you, you know, good and evil. You know, if you believe in, you know, I mean, obviously if you believe in evil, you have to, if you believe in good, you got to believe in the evil, and there is that in the world. So, you know, it kind of transcends to everything else we do in life and how it could affect people.
Well, now, Ruthie, I know you're a big Stephen King fan.
I am.
I know you got a big love. Now, how does this book stand up as far as a lot of his other books?
You know, most all his books in the beginning were kind of like this, you know, and then he kind of took a turn. I think after he had his accident, he kind of went more morbid. Now I think he's getting back to it. But, you know, about all his books have to do with, you know, this man versus evil. I mean, all of his books have that power struggle of which way to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even, you know, any of the things that he's done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Tommyknocker, I mean, Needful Things. The Dead Zone, he had great short stories. And how, you know, a child getting involved with a man, I mean, evil. I mean, it just...
just pretty...
it shows you.
A lot of pure evil kind of stories.
Right. If you read some of his stuff, you can have I think one of his Dreams, where he has short stories in it, and he has this one guy with a German story. It was one of my favorite short stories. I don't know why it meant so much to me, but this was a Nazi German did, you know, atrocities during the war, but this young guy found his secrets, you know, and started using that, and he actually turned in just as evil as he was.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites. I know that sounds crazy, but some of his things were so meaningful. Some of the short stories that, you know, you can grasp a lot from it.
Well, back to like the more post-apocalyptic stuff. Have you read Cell?
I got it. I have not read it. Honestly, it's been so long.
I don't want to spoil it for you.
No, I mean, I've got tons of his books. I've gone through a lot. In fact, you said you liked the uncut version. I liked the original version of The King.
Oh, you did.
I understand.
Okay.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
So I think
the
other one was too much.
Okay. Now, I think what Quiet Earth was just telling you, though, Stephen King, he's just put out a new book. Or he's
called
about
Cell,
to put out
yeah.
New... Oh, you've already got it?
I have not.
I've got it.
I haven't read it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I haven't read some of his books in a while. I'll tell you why.
Oh, okay.
And it's just that, actually, I got the Cell right here in front of me.
Well, I'll be.
I just haven't said it because I tell you, he kind of turned me off on some of his stuff. I guess.
Let me. What I want you to kind of, you know, I remember when you read, because it was a long time ago. We're talking over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember, and matter of fact, I think we were on our way to Albuquerque on a vacation when you read it. But I remember you telling me that it was just so detailed when you were reading it about like New York City and all the people were dead and. You know, the way his descriptions in the book, I mean, it was pretty eerie. And one thing I wanted to, one of my most memorable moments I thought was when Stu Redman, when he finally gets loose out of his containment thing in that disease control center, the way, when I remember him coming out of that, the descriptions in the book about, you know, all the dead people around and him, it was just really spooky and eerie. And then realizing, you know, at that point in the book, you know, he's alone. I mean, there's nobody. I mean, you know, I mean, you really get that feel, you know.
I think that's why Jericho touches a lot of people, because it gives you that same feeling of, okay, you know, this can happen. You know, I mean, this is just the way the world is today. You know,
well, you're right.
There's just always that looming possibility. That's why they call it, the X generation? Because you never know you just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I can agree with that. Yeah, don't scare us, Ruthie.
No. Anyway, that's just what I want to say. I mean,
Okay. Well, I'm glad you called in. And, I know you really love the book. And so I won't keep you up anymore, Ruthie. Thank you for calling. You have a good night, okay?
Thanks, Ruthie.
Bye-bye. Yeah, she's really a big time. She, like I said, into Stephen King. But like she was talking about, the good and evil aspect of it is really interesting. I mean, you don't find that in too many other post-apocalyptic books or movies. Is there anything that you know of that has that kind of theme in it, Quiet Earth?
Actually, all I keep thinking of is I want to make fun of Molly Ringwald, and we have like 11 minutes left, so.
Well, then that kind of goes into, I guess, the movie. What would you think about the movie version of the book?
Highly disappointed, like everybody else on the planet. The only good actor was Stu Redman, played by Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I mean, I'll preface this with, you know, Molly Ringwald was great in the Breakfast Club. She was great, you know, back in the Brat Pack days, but she stunk in the Stand. She couldn't act. Man, it was terrible.
Well,
it was kind of laboring watching that movie, I think.
Yeah, I get your point on that. I guess, you know, I all in all, I maybe wasn't too disappointed, but I understand where you're coming from. I mean, it definitely wasn't the, but I don't see how you could possibly put everything in the book. I mean, it just would be impossible to put it into a movie. It's just, you know, so much stuff there. But, you know, I'd say that as far as to be fair to the book, you know, the sets in New York City and like the town, you know, the, you know, everybody, you know, being, you know, as far as the sets wise, I thought were pretty decent.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll give it that. I'm just saying, you know, it's really hard to do a King book into a movie because, you know, you have a lot to live up to. I mean, really, the only one that was actually lived up to the book, which was as good as a book, was Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, Shawshank was good, yeah. Well, I have to say the Stand, you know, if it's a great book for anybody who hasn't read it. I have to admit, if you definitely want to, you know, get into a post-apocalyptic, and this is a horror also. It's kind of, you know, scary. It's pretty eerie, you know, book. And if you've read Stephen King before, I mean, the way he details certain things, you know, it's pretty good. You know, I was trying to think of something, you know, really. What I was just telling Ruthie on the phone, my aunt, you know, the most memorable moment I thought in the book was, you know, if you read it, was what came out of me was, as I said, if I could, you know, when Stu came out of that, you know, that hospital, and you realize that, you know, the 1 week before there was, say, you know, 3 million people in the city, and now there's just one person, you know. I mean, that's just got to be a really eerie feeling, you know, walking out and, you know, the car and everything's dark, you know, there's no power, or you know, and you're the last one standing out of a biological, you know, because biological, you know, a super flu or something, that's scary, you know.
Definitely.
You know,
in a place like that, whoa, man, it stinks bad enough to begin with. Imagine all the bodies.
Yeah, right. And they had to deal with that too. Remember that when they finally got to Boulder, when they got to Denver, I think it was Boulder. They have to clean out the town, and so they have to pull all the bodies in and burn them. But you know, I was just about to say, you know, like a nuclear weapon. I mean, that's worse, pretty bad itself. Well, you're dealing with the radiation, those kind of things. But you know, if you're away from the blast zone, away from it, you have a chance. Zombies, we talked about before. Zombies, you know, if you can hold up, I guess, if you have enough weapons and so, you know, at least you're not going to get sick from them. You just don't get bitten from them. But a biological weapon, a virus or something you can't smell or see, and, you know, somebody just sneezes or breathes on you, you catch it. You know, there's not a whole lot of hope for you, is there?
Well, no, there really isn't at that point. I mean, what are you going to do, seal yourself in the house? I mean, you know, you mentioned zombies. I'm armed right now, ready for the zombies. Come get me, you know? But, you know, the super flu, you know, you got to hightail it, man.
Where are you going to hightail it, man, with the super flu out there?
Where I live, you can go up into the mountains.
So you'd get a lot of distance from you and a lot of people.
Well, yeah. In fact, any situation, I would be heading into the mountains. You know, zombies too.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That's about the best thing I could say because in today's world, the way we're all interconnected, you know, that would be the worst you could think about. You know, some kind of communicable disease, and that's really one scary part about the Stand. You know, you notice early in the book when people start catching it, they die in about, I think it was like 48 hours. I mean, once they caught it, I mean, they were dead. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so there wasn't a lot of, and then what was interesting in the book, they kept quarantining places, you know. I mean, once the disease, say, when it began, because remember the disease was a military biological weapon. It got out of a lab. This security guard who jumps up out of his post, grabs his family, and drives across from country from, I guess it was California, Arizona, some base, all the way to Texas. and he stops, you know, at the McDonald's and all these places, drive-thrus, and all along he's, you know, carrying the disease and spreading it. And what was interesting is the military, they were trying, you know, they were trying to find out all these places where he stopped, and then they were, like, gathering the people up, you know. That there
and then they would break out somewhere else.
Yeah. Now, that'd be another scary thing. I mean, what would you do if the military came to your town and said, you're quarantined?
I would try to get out. If not, I'd probably seal myself up in my house. I don't know. That's a scenario we have to do a show on.
Yeah,
that's another topic.
Because
we're gonna
what do
have
you
to
do?
Figure that one out.
Yeah, I mean, do you cooperate? I mean, this is your government, you know. You know, your government's telling you you are now quarantined. You can't go anywhere, and
in New Orleans, they went door to door taking away people's firearms. So I wouldn't really trust the government at that point, would you?
No, man. Let me tell you, anybody comes up in a biological suit and an M16. Nah, I'm going to be a little bit weary, you know. I think my thinking process is going to go in, you know, high gear. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, a scary situation. But that's the stand. It really, you know, like I said, it spreads. It's pretty interesting the way he writes that and the way the military keeps trying to contain it. They can't contain it because every time they put – it's like putting out a fire, you know, brush fire. You know, as soon as they put out one spot – it flares up somewhere else, and they keep doing it, and eventually, you know, it's a losing situation, you know. And then they start burning bodies and doing all that. And then I was reading, I didn't realize this, it was the only thing in the book. Now, you know, when you're reading the book, it talks about L.A. and New York, but now this is interesting because I was reading this on Wikipedia, and I don't know how much, I guess you can take it for a fact from Wikipedia, but they were saying in the book, and I don't remember reading it, that the military actually, as it was going on, spread the virus over to East Europe and over into Africa on purpose. So as
I also read that on Wikipedia. I don't remember that from the book, though.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. And so I guess everybody was and nothing. Well, how about that? The name Captain Trips. You know,
that's a good name. Yeah.
I mean, Captain Trips. I mean, come on for a. I mean, yeah, they're talking about this strange flu called Captain Trips. I mean, what, you know, it sounds so, you know, trivial. You know, I mean, it's like it's not so bad. I mean, if somebody screamed out Ebola or something, you know, yeah, that would kind of make me jump, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you?
Yeah, Ebola, dude, I'd be sprinting. Actually, I'd be running.
You'd be running. Well, folks, we're only got 2 minutes left here. We were talking earlier on the news. Quiet Earth has got several new posts about several different movies and books, short films on his website, and it's www.quietearth.us. And I encourage you, or welcome you to come on over to the website over there and check that out. Quiet Earth, before we end out tonight, anything you want to end with? Anything that you go over?
Yeah, I just like to say that, you know, that wasn't the only post-apocalyptic thing that Stephen King has done. He also did The Mist, which I won't give away, which is actually going to be coming out soon as a movie. That was a shorter story. I think it was a couple hundred pages. And then he also has Cell, which just came out most recently, and I won't give that away either. But that is planned to be made into a movie. So, you know, King has dabbled, you know, in our favorite genre, you know, multiple times.
So we don't have any set date. Now, we know it's already been in production, right, The Mist?
Oh, yeah. I think The Mist is probably in post-production right now. There's a trailer that came out for it. I think it was last week, and we got it on the website.
Yeah. Now, in that one, there's some kind of strange creature in some kind of fog or mist, and it looks like a bunch of people that are holed up in some store, and everything outside is dead or it's pretty dangerous, looks like. Is that right?
Well, yeah, basically, this guy and his son go to the store. They're in Maine, and this fog rolls in, and there's stuff out in the fog, and they're stuck in this supermarket. And, you know, I won't say any more, but it's another great Stephen King story.
Okay, great. And you know what, real quickly before we go off, now, Ruthie, you know, she was just talking about you, and you had mentioned The Cell. That's another Stephen King. That's a book that just came out. Now, that is some type of something that spread through the cell phones. Is that right?
Yeah, that spread through cell phones. Yes, and there's no "the" in front of the name. It's just Clean Cell, and it seems to be going along. You know, the theme with, like, I think The Signal probably got, you know, like, has a similar theme to it. The Signal, the movie. So, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up here tonight. Stephen King, you know, he's a great writer. We talked about The Stand here. I love the book. If you haven't read it, definitely. If you want to see, there's a miniseries movie. It's pretty good. It's not as detailed as great as the book. But if you love to pick up a book and you haven't read it, you definitely want to read The Stand. It's well worth it.
Definitely.
Well, good night, and we'll have another show next Tuesday night. I want to thank everybody for tuning in with us, and everybody I see in the chat room, hey, guys, and see you next Tuesday. All right?
Bye, folks.
Okay.